I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Without thee, temptations lose their power in the hour. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Enjoy your bed. Come quickly and abide. Oh, life is good. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every. Hallelujah. Remove the Holy One. Me thine, the blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. For thou, O Lord, art I above the earth. Thou art exalted far above, O God. O Thou, O Lord, art I above the earth. Thou art exalted far above, O God, and I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy, His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Thank you, Jesus. He has done great things. Blessed is His holy name. Some golden day break, Jesus shall come. Some golden day break, battles are won. Some golden day break, we'll shout the victory, break through the blow. Some golden day break for you and me. Some golden day break, Jesus shall come. Some golden day break, battles are won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blow. Some golden day for you and me. Some golden day break, Jesus will come. Some golden day break, battles are won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blow. Some golden day break for you and me. Some golden day break, Jesus will come. Some golden day break, oh, the battles will be won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blow. Some golden day break for you and me. I am thinking I am thinking of the rapture in that moment when the redeemed are gathering in. We'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, the city will be gold when the redeemed are gathering. When the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed gathering. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices great and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the angel will give orders to prepare. Oh, when the redeemed are, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow and pray from, free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for, when the redeemed are gathering in. His invitation come, a blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering, yeah, watch like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering in. Watch like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Some of us aren't so outwardly, we don't shout much in public, but that day we'll shout. That day we'll dance, that day we'll sing. You'll see people like Brother Virgus that you've never seen them getting excited about anything. That day they'll dance. We'll be saying, is this Brother Virgus? Ah, bro, when we get there that day, when this journey is over and the last battle is fought, like the prophet says, we put the sword in the sheath for the last time. We close the Bibles for the last time. No more war. Just eternal peace. Just rest in the Lord. Ah, friends, that day we'll rejoice. Now we've still got some battles to fight. We've still got some puzzles to work through. But on that day, glorious day, it's going to be. And he's already started the work in us, and he's been faithful. Saints, really do greet you in Jesus' name. Thanks for coming out tonight. Just wanted to come and say farewell to our good old place here. It's been a sweet time in this place. You know, we were saying in the car coming down, when we left Fur House and we went to Marrowbone Lane, we never grieved at all. When we left Marrowbone Lane to come here, we never grieved at all. But now that we're leaving here, it's a sad place. It's got a lot of sweet memories. The Lord really gave us a good place. And I think it's good for us to thank the Lord tonight, to really appreciate what He's done for us. Let's open 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We'll take a thought from there. We want to speak tonight maybe a little bit about remembrance, but maybe especially the power of the covenant. The power of the covenant. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is when the Ark of the Covenant was moved. When the ark was moved from Shiloh, where it was in the tabernacle, and it was moved because Israel now had a settled government in Jerusalem, so they were bringing the ark up now to Jerusalem. Now, it's a type of exactly what we go through. You know, the Ark of the Covenant moved from place to place at different times, and the same as us. The house of worship moved, you know, the presence of God, the people just had to follow where the Lord wanted his word to be, the ark. Verse 7, it says, then on that day, that's the day when the ark came to Jerusalem, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. We've been doing that. Sing psalms unto him. Talk you of all his wondrous works. We want to do that now. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Then he changes now, verse 12. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done. His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. And who's He saying it to do? Who should remember? All you seed of Israel, His servant, the children of the covenant. All you seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. What should we remember? Be ye mindful always of His covenant. The word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Even of the covenant which He made with Abraham and of His oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. So these were the children of the covenant. They had to go through a lot of things before they got to that land. And He started to speak about it already. He's spoken about Abraham. He's spoken about Isaac and Jacob who became Israel. He's spoken about all the different things that had taken place to bring them into that place. God had to lead them, and it wasn't an easy journey. He says in verse 19, when you were but few, even a few and strangers in it, and when they went from one nation to another nation, so they were pilgrims going from place to place, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Father, we dedicate your word once again to you. Lord, as we've spoken upon this night, how we so appreciate this place. Father, so many precious memories, times, Lord, that we've been in your presence, times of your goodness, times that you've healed people, times that you've saved people, people we've baptized. Father, lessons that you've taught us. Father, we do appreciate it, Lord. And we just wait in an expectation, Father, for you to lead us to the next place. That, Father, you may continue the pilgrimage that you've called us to. Father, bless your people that are gathered this night. Brother Virgus at work, please watch over him, Lord. And Father, Brother Mike, his family on holiday, bless them, we'd pray. Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia, as they come back, be with them. Our precious young people, we pray that you'll bless them as well. Yes, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just to say before we get in the word, I was chatting quite a lot this week with Brother Jonathan in Switzerland. And I contacted him at the beginning of the week. And he contacted me today, Brother Jonathan. And he was saying, brother, he said, his words were, I'm so proud of the sheeps that came from Dublin. He says, they've been a real inspiration and a blessing to us. And he sent it back to me again today. He said, brother, it's been such a blessing to be with the young people from Dublin. He says, they've really been teaching us a lot of things here. So it was a real good testimony. So we really do appreciate what the Lord is doing there with his sons and his daughters. David here is doing the right thing. Now there's a junction in time. It's a time that things are changing. The ark is coming now from one place and it's going to another place. And at junctions, it's good to think back. Whenever there's a change in life, a change in ministry, it's good to think back. Now, we as people, we are so busy sometimes that so often we don't get the virtue of what the Lord does for us because we're so busy. We never think back. We never meditate upon the goodness of the Lord. You know, we never really, you know, get the virtue from anything that He does for us. If the Lord speaks to us today, sometimes we're rushing tomorrow and we forget what the Lord was saying. No, the Lord heals us today. We forget the testimony and we don't like get the full virtue in our experience that the Lord wanted to put in us by doing for us what He did. Because when the Lord does something for you, like He did for Israel, He wanted it to be recorded. He wanted it to be something that people could learn by. He wanted it to be something that even generations to come would be inspired by what He had done for, you know, their forefathers, for the fathers of these children of the covenant, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I really think it's such a good thing to really meditate upon the works of the Lord. Meditate upon what He's done in His word. Meditate what He's done in our age. Meditate what He's done in your life. I think it's such an important thing. You know, we're too busy, like I say, we don't really give the Lord the gratitude, the appreciation enough for the things that He does for us. And that's why we don't get the full benefit from what He does for us. And that benefit doesn't then go to our children and to our children's children. Because we've never really allowed that to, you know, put like a memorial inside of our lives. And the children of Israel would take the stones and pile up the stones and make a memorial. They would do something so that they could keep coming back to that place to remind themselves once again of the goodness of the Lord and what they'd experienced of the Lord and what the Lord had done for him. You know, so it's a good thing when junctions come, like now when you're moving from this place. And I was thinking today, I was really going back and thinking of the good things the Lord has done for us. You know, and going and thanking the Lord. Because, you know, David, the first thing that he says in verse 8 there, when he gets inspired to write this psalm and give it to the sons of Asaph so they can sing it in the house of the Lord, the very first thing he says is, give thanks unto the Lord. You know, give thanks. If the Lord's done something for you and you meditate upon it and you see your spiritual history, you see what he's taken you through, you see the pilgrimage that he's led you through to where you are now. You know, if you really do it the right way, you're going to give thanks to the Lord. Now, you're going to go before the Lord and you're going to say, but Lord, you know, you are just so good. You know, and your works are good and the way that you work is just so wondrous. And that's what he's saying here. He says in verse 9, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. We were fellowshipping with some saints in Northern Ireland. They invited us for dinner last night. I love going to places where people love to fellowship like that. Then people want to speak of his wondrous works. You know, it just comes a nice atmosphere and you can start speaking about what the Lord has done. You can speak about what the Lord is doing. And you know, all testimonies come back in your mind and different things and you fellowship and then other people are speaking of what the Lord has done for them. Friends, the Bible says that talk ye of his wondrous works. And David wanted these things to be recorded. So, you know, he had the gift. So he composed a psalm, a song, a sacred song, to inspired song, so that he could deliver it to the musicians, the people that were gifted, so that this could be sung in the house of the Lord, so that the people wouldn't forget. Now, he didn't want people to forget the great spiritual history that they had, bringing them to where they were. And friends, it's good for you and I to go back and look in our spiritual diaries. Think back to when he called you. Think back to what you used to be. You know, I was thinking of when you first met Brother Francois. You know, I remember when you were sitting in Crumlin there, and there was September the 11th. You know, Brother Francois was the first person who ever told me about Osama bin Laden. I remember I was sitting there and he said, brother, you know, this is Osama bin Laden. And I was thinking of it this week. I was saying, you know, precious memories. And Brother Talent, who was here the other day, you think of staying together. And no, you think back to when we baptized Sister Lillian. It was so cold in the water. And she was so rejoicing in the Spirit and she fell on her knees in the mud. And I was thinking of when the sister that was supposed to send her away to Belgium. And then the Lord delivered her and they sent her back. And the lawyer was saying to Brother Pele, go and tell the people in your church that your God is real. Because this has never happened before in the courts, in the annals of law, that somebody was deported like that and was sent back again. I was thinking back that every single one of us, if we would think in the season that we've been here, friends, the Lord has done a lot of wonderful things. He's done a lot of gracious things. Think Brother Wilmer could give his testimony. Brother George could give his testimony. Brother Max could give testimony. Every single one of us could come. And you know, if you get in the spirit of gratitude, of thankfulness, because it's so easy to get in the spirit of complaining, friends. It's so easy. You know, you don't have to resist anything. You don't have to overcome anything to complain or to criticize. But to be in the spirit of thankfulness, it's an overcomer. You've got to overcome your feelings sometimes, overcome circumstances that are pressing you down, overcome other people and the things that they're saying around you, and you guard your soul, and you keep an atmosphere inside of your soul that you're thanking the Lord. Now, you don't worry about what other people are saying, but you wanting to thank the Lord because he's been good, and the memories that you have are good memories. You know, that's what David is trying to exhort us to do here. He's trying to make us look back at the sacred history. He's looking at the sacred history of Israel. Now look back in your sacred history. We could look back in our sacred history, even as a church here. We could see where we came from, where we started, when we were but few in number. We could look back at the times like Israel coming through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, coming through to the days of Joseph. There were times where they were just so close to being destroyed as a people. Now, there were times I almost would have despaired to say, but are we ever going to be a nation? And we've been through times as a church where you'd wonder to say, but hey, now what does the future hold? You know, yeah. But through all of these things, I've learned the same thing that David told us, that we should be mindful of. Verse 15, he says, be ye mindful always of his covenant. In all of these things that you read this and you see David speaking about, in all of the deliverance of Abraham, when he went to Egypt and he made his mistakes and God delivered him, and you know, when he was surrounded by hostile nations and so forth, and he's just few in number, just Abraham and his sheep and his young men. And he goes through Isaac and when they went, and Jacob when he went, and you know, the different things that he did. You know, through all of those times, right the way through to his present day, when David is looking back, giving thanks to the Lord for this history of Israel, there's not one mention in all of this of they were delivered by the military, they were delivered by the might or the power of men, that they were delivered by anything to do with man. David knows it's all the power of the covenant. It's just the power of the covenant, the grace covenant, God's covenant that he made with Abraham. That's what he starts to speak about. He says, if I want to explain to you why we're such a great nation today, they now had Jerusalem as their capital, they had a strong army and all of that. And it's like David saying to us, let me tell you the truth. For us to be where we are today, to have these testimonies, to have survived all these things that you've been through and other people perished in these things, it's nothing to do with our own goodness. It's to do with his covenant. It's his covenant he made with Abraham, and then the oath that he made with Isaac, and that he confirmed with Jacob, and that he made for 1,000 generations with the heirs of the promise. And I think it's so good for us to remember, friends, that where you and I are today, it's the power of his covenant. It's the covenant that he established with Christ. The prophet says this covenant wasn't established with us. When God made this covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, he put Abraham to sleep. He put him to sleep. He first told Abraham, divide the sacrifice, put everything on the altar. Then he put Abraham to sleep. And then the light, the pillar of fire, went through the burnt offering in the midst of the offering. And God made a covenant. And the prophet says that was speaking of Calvary. That was speaking of God's great covenant that he made with the person of Jesus Christ, our great representative. So friends, every single thing that we've been through to come to where we are today, it's because of this covenant. You were called under a covenant. You were saved under a covenant. You've been redeemed under the covenant. You've been delivered because of the power of this covenant. He's protected you because of this covenant. He's watched over us right up to this day because of this covenant. Because we are the children of the covenant. It's nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with our works. Do any of us have any works here today that we can come and stand and boast and say, I deserve the goodness of the Lord? None of us have that. But it's the covenant of grace that God made a covenant with Abraham in those days. And that covenant with Abraham now was confirmed with all of his children right the way down to David's day. And the same as us, God made a covenant in Christ, with Christ at Calvary. And we are the beneficiaries of that covenant up to today. And friends, let me tell you one thing. When God makes a covenant with the people, that is an irrevocable covenant. He never takes his covenant away. There'll come times when it'll seem you're about to perish, like Israel did many times. Sometimes Israel was sent into captivity in Babylon and so forth, but they still were the children of the covenant. And what God had determined and what God had promised to them, it's the covenant is going to be fulfilled. And what God has determined with you, and what God has determined for me, and what God has determined for us as a church, it is going to come to pass. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter the evil intent of people. It doesn't matter anything else. It's the covenant that saved us. We are saved under the covenant. The covenant has made us what we are, this grace covenant. And this grace covenant will take us home. This grace covenant will take us into our inheritance. This grace covenant will ensure that everything God has ordained us to fulfill will be fulfilled. You know, if we don't obey the Lord and we're not faithful to the covenant, he'll chasten us as sons of the covenant, like he did to Israel. He'll raise up adversaries against us like he did. He's got many things that he can do, because as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. But friend, the only way that I can explain that I'm here today and you here today, it's grace. It's a covenant of grace. We are the children of the covenant just as much as David was composing a song here to give glory to the Lord because of the power of this covenant. And he says, remember his covenant. And let's remember this covenant, friends. I wasn't even there. You weren't born when God made this covenant. This covenant was established in his mind before the foundation of the world, when his seed was yet in him. And he wrote the names of all his sons and daughters on his book. And he says, your names are written on the palms of my hands. And then we were entrusted into the hands of the Lamb. And all that thou hast given me, Father, I've lost none of them save the son of perdition. You know, and each and every one of us has been entrusted as his sons and daughters into this great covenant, God. And it's the covenant that has kept us. And it's the covenant that's going to take us home. If we're rebellious, if we're stubborn, he knows how to correct us. If we get out of line, he knows how to bring us back into line. I mean, if you look at your sacred history, has he not done it to you many times? Have there not been times when you were at the point that you had given up inside of yourself? And what was it that came and quickened you once again at that time? What is it that came and renewed your strength and renewed your zeal? It wasn't your own strength. It wasn't your own ability. It was the power of this covenant. It was the power of his grace covenant that he made with us. When there's been other times, like in Israel, when he went and married that Canaanite woman, and he went and had those sons, Ur and Onan, whatever their names were. And that's Judah through whom the promised seed had to come. He had no sons. And now he marries a Canaanite. And he has children with a Canaanite. And it looked like God's program. It was right on a knife's edge. It was like God's seed line to bring forth the Messiah that had come to an end. Until Tamar got inspired now in such a strange way. And she dressed herself up as a harlot and she went and took seed from him and brought forth the seed of promise. And from there the bloodline continued on. Friends, sometimes it'll seem that it's gone. It'll seem like there's no way this is going to continue on. But if these are the children of the covenant's going to kick in once again. Just in time and just when you need it, God knows how to kick the covenant back into effect once again. He may let you be down there in Egypt and you're slaving away and you're groaning and grieving for the conditions of things for a season of time. And you're wondering, but where's God? Why am I laboring like this? Why are things so hard for me at this season of time? And you start groaning and you start speaking to the Lord again. What does the Bible say? He remembered his covenant. He remembered these are the children of the covenant. And in due season, he sent them deliverance in the person of Moses. And then he brings them out and he brings them into a trap at the Red Sea. And there's no way for them to go forward. They don't know where they're going to go next. It's like us today, friends. I don't know where we're going to worship on Sunday. But he knows where we're going to worship on Sunday. It's like the children of Israel. You get to those stages, you're perplexed. You say, Lord, we've done everything that we can, but there's a Red Sea here. There's mountains on both sides. There's a hostile enemy that's behind us. And God looked down at the children of the covenant. And God changed the situation. Because these were the seed of the covenant. These were the children of the covenant. They weren't predestined to perish there. They were predestined to inherit the inheritance, the lot of their inheritance, the land of Canaan. So whenever something would come in the way, sometimes it would seem they couldn't get through. But then grace would kick in once again. Something would move. Something would turn. Something would change. Has that not been your testimony many times since? That's been my testimony many times. Many times you wake up on a Monday morning, you just feel, I can't go on anymore, I'm too tired. You feel like that. I read it once at the minister, at the officers' meeting, when, you know, how they said when they did a survey in America that such 65-70% of pastors in America say every Monday they wake up feeling they're going to give up. Brother Ram says the same thing. You know, you pastors' wives, stay away from your husband on a Monday. It's like Elijah, he's been on the mountain, then he comes down now. But what happens then? Grace kicks in again. By lunchtime, you're coming back to yourself. By evening time, you're feeling normal. Tuesday comes, you wanted to press on in the things of the Lord. Is that your power? Is that your goodness? It's not. It's the power of the covenant. Because we are the children of the covenant. And we should give thanks unto the God of the covenant. In His great covenant name, Jesus, Jehovah Savior. That's His great covenant name that He's established with us. And friends, He's done it time and time again. Yes, we'd love to see greater things. That's all in the power of the covenant. Let's just walk faithful. He'll bring us to whatever He's ordained us to be and what He's ordained us to do. But friends, it's not through power. It's not through might. It's by My Spirit, saith the Lord. It's that same Spirit of grace that watched over the children of the covenant that David was singing about here as he looked back over the sacred history of Israel. As they came to this junction now where the ark was moving, they were coming to another place to worship. He didn't complain and murmur. He looked back and he said, Lord, let me take this opportunity to get in the Spirit and to appreciate what You've done for us. To bring us to this place. We don't know what the future holds. But Lord, we give the future into Your hands because You've been so faithful to the covenant up to now. And this is an unfailing covenant. This covenant cannot fail. Friends, the covenant we called unto, I'll say it too clearly, it can never fail. Otherwise, God Himself has failed. It doesn't matter what the enemy plots against us. It doesn't matter the schemes and the strategies of man. They were against Israel from the beginning to the end. Doesn't matter the power of the nations round us. Doesn't matter about the evil intent and the satanic anointing upon now our adversaries and our foes. Doesn't matter what's stored up against us in the spiritual world. Doesn't matter if a host is encamped against us. David said, though a host be encamped against me, I shall not fear. Why? Not because of His strength, because of the covenant. And because of the power of the covenant. And because of the faithfulness of the God of the covenant. And that's who we've come to worship tonight and to appreciate and to thank Him. Is the God of the covenant, this great one who called us into covenant with Himself. He called me into covenant with Himself. He separated me the same as He separated Abraham. He separated you as well. He called you from worshiping idols in your father's house. He separated you and says, separate yourself. I'll take you to a land. I'll take you to a place that I'll show you. And you and I left. And then He brought us to the promised land, the message of the hour. Like He brought Abraham to the promised land. But it wasn't so easy sometimes for Abraham. There came a famine. There came drought. It wasn't so easy in that season of time. And Abraham thought, well, let me go back to the world for a season. He was still a child of the covenant. The prophet says he never lost the covenant. He lost the blessings of the covenant. And friends, you will never lose the covenant. Once God has established a covenant, He established it in Christ, our great representative head, and we being dead in Christ, we were represented in Christ. Friends, this covenant, we can lose the blessings of it, but we can never lose the covenant. We can never lose the power of the covenant. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter. Generations may come and generations may go. He says it there. He commanded the covenant to 1,000 generations. So one generation rises up and society changes. The laws change. Everything changes, but God never changes. And His covenant never changes. Is that not a powerful thought? It doesn't matter the laws they're passing now. It doesn't matter. His covenant doesn't change. It doesn't matter what people think about you. People's ideas and thoughts of you may change. Let me tell you one thing. It doesn't matter what people think about you. The only thing that matters is what He thinks about you. That's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It matters what He says about you. And I love to go and read what He says about me. That's how you still all the voices of the enemy. You go and listen to, and pay heed to what He says about you. In His word and in the message of the hour. He said so many things against Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The nations have said so many things. Hitler rose up and plotted against the children of the covenant. But friends, none of the things that man can do can ever overrule or override God's covenant with His children. In fact, every time people come against the children of the covenant with evil in mind, it simply quickens the people closer to the covenant. He came against the Jews in Europe, 6 million of them, put them to death. People would have thought, oh, this is the end of Israel. No, this is an everlasting covenant. Amen. To 1,000 generations. It's only been about 40 generations so far since the covenant was made. But this covenant's to 1,000 generations. So it doesn't matter about Hitler. It doesn't matter. He might have millions of SS warriors, the most evil of his troops. He may indoctrinate his children. He may raise up nations. He may build apparatus to destroy the Jews. It doesn't matter what he does. There's nothing Hitler can do that's going to be more powerful than the covenant. God's resources are always greater than the devil's resources. Now the devil may set up this and set up that and say, I've got them now. Now I've got them this time. But he who laughs last, laughs longest. That's what they say. And you find the children of the covenant, they always come through. And not only do they come through, but that becomes a blessing. And after Hitler does all of that, the nations of the world say, let's give these people their homeland back. And then all that the devil's done is push the people into their homeland. Friends, it's like that with the children of the covenant every single time. And another principle as well, you can see it in the book of Esther. You find when people plot against the children of the covenant and they take secret counsel one with another. And he has Haman and he's got his secret plan inside of his heart and he erects his great gallows now. And it looks like, you know, the proclamations made that on such and such a day, every Jew, every one of the children of the covenant is going to be put to death. Friends, it comes down to a place you'll be thinking, but no, God's lost control here. God's forgotten about his people. Friends, God can never forget his covenant. He's the ever-remembering God. And he always remembers his covenant. He might allow it to come right to the edge. I remember Brother Nanda preaching that message. God is not a showman, but he's a spectacular God. And he says, God allows it to come to the stage that it looks like it's finished. There's no hope anymore. It looks like the decree's been sealed. The king gives Haman his ring and says, you seal the decree. They post the decree in all of the 127 provinces of the kingdom. The Jews are weeping. They're putting sackcloth. Oh, woe is us. Woe is us. Haman erects his great gallows. He's going to hang Mordecai there the next day. Friends, it comes right down. And in the midst of the night, the king can't sleep anymore. And he gets off his bed and he says, bring me the record of the annals of the king. And then, like I said once before, and that servant, he doesn't know where to go and he goes into the archives. Don't forget, this is 4 years after Mordecai saved the life of the king. There's many things have happened, many scrolls, and these things in the archives. And that man goes into the archives that day and it's full of all the scrolls of the history of the kingdom. And he thinks to himself, now which scroll am I going to choose to give to the king? And there's all the new scrolls in the front. But there's one old scroll that catches his attention in the back. And it's got dust and it's got cobwebs. And he takes it, he blows off the dust. He says, I don't know, let me give this one. And you know, the Jews actually say that as he was bringing it into the king, it's just tradition. They say that he dropped that scroll and it opened up. And it opened up to the place where it was the record of Mordecai having saved the king. Whichever way that it was. But somehow he opens that record exactly to Mordecai in the time that he saved the king. And the king straight away says, hey, imagine years after the event. The king says, did anybody ever give a reward to Mordecai? And they say, no, my lord, no one ever gave a... No, I can't rest. Who's in the court? I can hear somebody out there. Call him in. And here comes Haman coming in, thinking he's coming to great honor. Haman, what should be done to a man to whom the king desires to honor? Said, put him on the king's horse, dress him in the king's apparel. Let one of the great counselors of the king lead him through the street, proclaiming, this is what the Lord will do to them whom he favors. Excellent idea, Haman. You take Mordecai, put my robe on him, put him on my horse, lead him through the city streets. Friends, and then there comes the great plot is uncovered, and then Mordecai is exalted to the kingdom, and Haman is hung upon his own gallows. It'll always be like that with the children of the kingdom. I've seen so many people prophesy doom about me. And you have too. I've seen people who left this church who says, this church will close down. People came and sat in my office and said, this church is going to close down in a few months. And God is finished with you. It's true. People told me that. People who left this church. And at the same time, God anointed someone with the gift of prophecy in Northern Ireland. And when I got back home, he phoned me, that brother, and said, brother, I don't know what this means, but let me tell you what the Lord says to you. And there came two different prophecies. And I weighed it up in the balance and I said, which one of these prophecies should I believe? friends, just let it run its course and you will see. God cannot forget his covenant. God can't save you today and lose you tomorrow, the prophet says. God can't call you today and take away your calling tomorrow. It's impossible. And then we found in the course of time, that was just the opinions of people. And now we find those same people, poor, pitiful people, they're not even in this message anymore. They're now worshiping a man and being baptized in the name of a man. Those same people who prophesied that this church will come to nothing. Friends, be careful who you listen to. Because there's a lot of tongues out there that don't tell the truth. Just as much as people prophesied against Israel, the children of the covenant, said all manner of things. It's not important what people say. It's important what God says. It doesn't matter what people think. It's what God thinks that matters. Because what he thinks will stand sure. Because his thoughts are eternal. They'll never change. God has never had a new thought about you. God can never change his mind about you. Because God's not an Indian giver. And when I went back and I read the word, I said, no, 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 Lord. He has two different prophecies here. Like when the days member of Jeremiah, was it, who when he prophesied and said, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And then the other one, Hananiah, came and says, no, no, you'll come out after 2 years. Remember, different voices. Yeah. And then Jeremiah said, okay, amen, let's wait and see. And what happened? Friends, God's word will always come to pass. God's voice will never fail. God will always remember his covenant in due season. He can never lose his sons. He can never lose his children. Look at the covenant he made with Jacob, Genesis 28, verse 15. When the Lord came and spoke to Jacob, look what he promised under this covenant. Genesis 28, verse 15. It's really a very powerful thing if you think of yourself. Because you and I are under a grace covenant. The Lord said, and behold, I am with thee. And will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. So whether we worship here, we have to worship somewhere else. He says, I'm going to keep you wherever you go. Whether we were worshiping in Zimbabwe, then he allowed us to come here. You came from Congo, you came from Lithuania, came from Poland, wherever it was, Lithuania, whatever. Ghana. He says, I'll be with you in all places that you go. That's the covenant, friends. God's not going to change that word just because somebody doesn't like you. Just because someone doesn't want you to prosper as a believer, never will change what God thinks about you. That's just the emotional makeup of man to say these kind of things. Now, I was thinking of it this week. I've never, no matter how much people have been against me and things have happened in a message that I didn't understand, I've never once desired a message church to close. Never. Have you ever desired and said, I wish that would close down that church? Imagine the spirit you'd have to be in to wish that a message church will close down. No matter if you agree with that church or not. I'd never even desire if a Seven Thunder church closed down. I'd be sad. When I heard what happened there in New York and that, and the things that happened when those brothers were caught up in trading stocks and that, those Seven Thunder brothers, and went to jail, it was very sad. The Bible says, tell it not in Gath, lest the daughters of the Philistines hear and rejoice. You'll be sad when if you have a Perugia church isn't doing well. You'll be sad. Why? Because you're children of the covenant. We may not agree with everything. We may not see everything eye to eye. But for me to get to the stage to say, God's going to close that church down. Oh, friends, what kind of an anointing is upon a person who thinks like that? That's not the anointing of the covenant. God never anoints a person to think like that. Friends, that's not the kind of anointing that we want. The kind of anointing that we want is God bless his children. Those that left us, if they prosper, God bless them. We don't fight against them. We never fight. As long as they leave us in peace, we'll leave them in peace as well. We wish them goodwill. If you meet them in the street, we greet them. Some of them don't want to greet us anymore. That's not up to us. But we still greet them. We still pray for them. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of the covenant. We realize it's not our own goodness that has kept us. It's his grace that has kept us. It's his covenant that has kept us. And we want them to be kept by the same covenant. It's a sad thing, friends, when you find people thinking like that. It shouldn't be like that. Because God says, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's what the covenant is. God says to you tonight, I will never leave you until I have done what I said I'm going to do. What the message says, what our inheritance is, friends, God will never leave us. If we have to go and worship in a community center next weekend, that's okay. God's going to be there. If we have to worship somewhere else the next week until we find the right place, it makes no difference. He's the covenant God. He's not governed by place or location. Just because we're not here anymore doesn't mean there's no covenant anymore. It doesn't matter. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob went in tents from place to place. It didn't make any difference. The covenant God was with them. He was watching over them. He was guiding them and protecting them each step of the journey. Has that not been your testimony? Now, when you first came out to Ireland, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what kind of worship you were going to be able to get into. You don't know what God had in His mind for you. But friends, it's been a wonderful time for me that God sent me to this place, sent you to this place for a purpose. That we can raise up a standard of truth in the midst of all the fanaticism that goes around. That we can stand for the plain, simple message. When others have worshipped Brother Branham, we said that was wrong. If we think back in our sacred history in Marrowbone Lane, and there came a minister and stood in the pulpit on a Wednesday night and told us the new name of God is William Branham. And we said, that's not right. And we came and preached against that and said, that's a serpent spirit. We don't worship Brother Branham. And then we've had other people coming in this church, big ministers, and they came and said, you don't need your prophet anymore if you want to stay with your prophet. We've moved beyond the prophet. And we as the sons and daughters of the covenant said, that's an uncertain sound. Though we respect the man, respect an anointed one of God, but no. We don't accept those. And God has delivered us from the evil doctrines that side and that side, and thus far He's kept us. And friends, He said it. He says, I'll never leave you until I've performed all that I promised that I'm going to do to you. And what He said He's going to do in His bride, some are ahead of us now, but God has His season and His time. God will bring us exactly to where we are. If we just humble before Him and just keep faithful in the line of duty, it's nothing to do with our works, friends. It's His covenant. If we, the children of the covenant, He's going to fulfill His purpose. He's going to fulfill His will. It's always going to be like that. So He makes this covenant when they were few in number. You know, they got to a stage, Israel, they were so few in number, they could be counted on their hands in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were no match for the enemies round and about them. Like one man once said, he says, so many times Israel, the only thing between them and their enemies was their tent skins. That's all it was. They had no armies. They had not enough swords and spears. They were surrounded by armies and nations that were governed by the devil. Imagine. What kept them? The covenant. Part of the covenant is God's protection. He watched over them. He allowed no man to do them harm. He allowed no man to do them harm. He suffered no man to do them harm. Look what it says there in verse 19. When you were but few, even a few and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another, verse 21, He suffered no man to do them wrong. You know what it means? If somebody does you wrong, God's allowed it. Because it says He allowed no one to do them harm. So it shows that if people want to do evil to the children of the covenant, they've got to get God's permission. Remember, the devil had to go and get permission before he could touch Job. Because he said, Lord, this isn't fair. You've made a hedge of protection around this man. I can't do anything. You've blessed the works of his hands. You've blessed his family. And the devil had to say, please, give me permission to do something against this man. That's the power of the covenant, friends. So when something happens, God has allowed it. When a situation arises which is difficult for you, God has permitted it. When somebody raises their hand against you, when somebody opposes you, God has allowed it for a purpose. I was saying it to Brother Francois the other day. I liked it so much. I heard somebody preach and he said, God put Saul in David's life to perfect David. See, God does that. He allows things to rise up, adversaries against us. Other people come, want to trouble us. Other people come. What's it to do? It's to bring us to perfection. He's allowed it. Wasn't the devil allowed it? No one can touch us if God doesn't allow it. That's the power of the covenant. People have to get God's permission before they can touch us. So therefore, if God allows things to rise up and people give you a hard time and people say all manner of evil against you, He suffered it to be so. But it's going to be for your good. And it's going to be for His glory. And it's going to move you on from where you are closer to what He wants you to be. Every single time. That's what He did in Joseph. Exactly the same. God suffered His brothers to do Him harm. To throw Him in a pit, sell Him as a slave. But all it did was quickened Him to the place that He was supposed to be. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's how it happens every time with the sons and daughters of the covenant. No matter what evil people do against you, if you keep the right attitude, it'll work out for your good. Because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Us leaving this church now, it's working for our good. Because all things work together for good. Nothing's out of place. Nothing's wrong. Everything is under control. I know some of the sisters were worrying this week, and I was saying it to them. I said, where's your faith? They said, but where are we going to worship? I said, God knows we're going to worship. I said, if you have to worship in somebody's house for a while, it's okay. Our fathers lived in tents for a season. In the dark ages, they worshipped in caves and in forests for a season. And God knows where we're going to go next. We'll do our best. We'll keep knocking on the doors like all the brothers have been doing. God knows where to lead us, friends. That's the mystery of His will. I don't know where we're going to go. No one here knows where we're going to go. But He knows. Because He who began the good work, He's been faithful up to now. He gave us this place. He's got somewhere prepared. We just need to wait for His season and His time and something to link us with that place. Just as much as brothers found someone to link us to this place. It's the same way. Friends, His covenant doesn't change. It's like people are thinking that God's forgotten about us. God can't forget about His children, friends. But He may suffer long sometimes. He may allow things to happen to test us. He may allow certain things so we manifest what's in our hearts. But it all works together for our good. He may stretch it for some time. We may not find a place. And people will be saying, oh, where's God gone? Oh, where's God? Friends, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. In the wilderness, when they got there, there was no water, remember? The Bible says, and the people tempted God. And they said, is God with us or not? Yay. After all that God had done for them. And then God puts him in a test in the wilderness. They said, but where's God now? Oh, this man Moses. And God heard what they said. And God wasn't pleased with that. Friends, be careful. Be careful at the junctions in life. Be careful not to think that God cannot change. He cannot change His thoughts. God cannot change His purpose, His program, His plan concerning us. We just have to wait upon Him to open the door. Because unless He opens the door, we can't open the door, friends. He's the one who opens and no man can shut. He's the one who shuts and no man can open. That's where we're sitting at this time. So let's just wait upon Him. We've asked Brother David already today. He's trying to find a hall for us to use on Sunday just in case. He's trying to arrange for storage for us on Friday to put our things in storage. If that's what you're going to do for a few weeks, we still praise the Lord. That's His will. Friends, we shouldn't always think that God has to give us everything on a plate. That everything must go the way that we want it to go. Let's keep the same attitude and appreciate His grace. That His covenant, there's a reason and a purpose. Because the prophet says, nothing happens to a believer by chance. God is behind every move, the prophet says. He's testing the reaction to an action. And sometimes these things happen just so people, you can see what's in the hearts of people. So you can see the counsels and the schemes of people and things like that. It's a good thing when God allows things to go backwards. As long as we're not looking at it as natural people, if we look at it in a spiritual sense, He's going to make it work out well. So they were pilgrims. Now, let's look at a few scriptures before we get to one point before we close. Romans, well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30 first. Just to show this one of when the people were against Israel and all of the evil of Satan against Israel. It can never prosper. It doesn't matter that there was a man called Ahmadinejad and he wanted nuclear missiles to bomb Israel. He's no longer there. And now there's another man and they're going to destroy Israel. Let's wait and see. Because the covenant God's not going to allow that until He's fulfilled His purpose. He said, I will be with you until all that I've spoken of you shall be fulfilled. That may get to times where it seems Israel's shaking and no one's its friend anymore. They've got the greatest friend of all friends. They've got an everlasting friend. They've got God as their friend. They've got the covenant God. And friends, He's not only our friend, He's your Father. We're His sons and we're His daughters. Our friends, how much more does He care about us than He does against the natural, about the natural seed of Israel? Proverbs 21 verse 30, if you can put it up for us there, bro, if you don't mind. The Bible says there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. It doesn't matter what wisdom people use. Doesn't matter what counsel they take. Doesn't matter if people plot together in their secret chambers against you. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at work if all the rest of the people have determined that you must go from that place. If God hasn't determined you must go from that place, you're going nowhere. You're not going anywhere. Because there's no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel against the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah 54 verse 17. We know the scripture well. But remember what these scriptures. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Yes. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Yeah. Every tongue that judges you wrong. Yeah. Now look, when we do wrong, friends, let's admit we're wrong. Yeah. I don't mind people saying things against me when I've done wrong. I mean, that's God showing me that I'm wrong. I need to repent. But when people, their tongues rise up and judge you, yeah. God is finished with you. Yeah. God this and that. That's what He said. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You will see it come to nothing. It's just the words of people, friends. It's what He says that counts. It's not what people say that counts. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is our inheritance as the sons and daughters of the covenant. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. What about Proverbs 26, verse 2? Proverbs 26 verse 2. Those people that want to curse you. Those people that try to curse you. Look what the Lord says. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Yep. If there's no cause, if God hasn't cursed us, friends, it doesn't matter how people curse us. Balak wanted to curse Israel. And he called Balaam and said, go and curse them. And Balaam wanted to. And when he said, he blessed them. You can't curse that which God has blessed. You cannot curse that which God has blessed. And if you look at the sacred history of Israel, they made a lot of mistakes, friends. They got off course many times. They got out of line many times. They murmured. They complained. They lusted after other things. But they were still the children of the covenant. And when people cursed them, wanted to curse them, God every time turns the curse into a blessing. When the son, the Jacob and his brothers, when the brothers wanted to curse him, God turned it into a blessing. Every time it's going to be like that, friend. When Haman wanted to curse Israel, God turned it into a blessing. It'll always be like that because the curse causeless. Unless we, friends, have sinned against God, we're not the sons of His covenant, we're doing everything against the will of God. I don't know anybody here who's doing that. Every single one of us is a humble, simple person who's trying to do his best to serve the Lord. We're trying to do our best to minister for Him as ministers, to serve Him as deacons, to serve Him as musicians, to serve Him as brothers and sisters. We're trying our best. We fall short many times. We get tired. We get sick. Same all of us here. We have good days and bad. That's got nothing to do with it. This is an immutable covenant that He established with Christ. Nothing to do with your good days and your bad. And unless there's a genuine cause, friends, that curse is just words. It's just nothing. It's just the opinions of people that'll pass away. But God's word will never change. And His covenant will never change. Let's remind ourselves of Romans 8:35. Romans 8:35. Friends, these scriptures, they apply to all of us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation? Yeah, tribulation may come. It's not going to separate us from the love of Christ. Or distress. We're going to have times of distress. Or persecution. Maybe it's coming down the way. Or famine. There's going to become times where maybe it's going to be tough. You're not going to have enough food in your house. Or nakedness. You don't have enough clothes to put on. Or peril. You'll be in peril saying, this is dangerous, this situation. Or sword. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Next verse, bro. Nay, in all these things We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's where the victory is, friends. The victory isn't because of our love that can be strong today and not so strong tomorrow. We can lose our first love, but His love never can change towards us. All of these things, friends, we, the children of the covenant, all of these things are the blessings of the covenant. It's His grace and mercy. Go to the next verse, bro. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, even angels will be against us, fallen angels. Imagine how the demons get on our case so many times. You feel it, the demon oppression. You'll feel it, the spiritual warfare. The best that they can do is going to be far short of what's required to separate you from the love of Christ. And just at that time when the devil will think like Job, I've got him now, the covenant will kick in. The covenant will kick in once again and you will say, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan. We've all been in those places. We felt, I'm tired of this now. I'm giving up. And you're just about to say, I'm going to give up. And something kicks in your soul. And you wonder where it came from. And you say, but hey, no. Let's press on. And then you start singing, I'm pressing on the upward way. And if you could have seen what had happened in heavenly places, friends, if you could have seen the intercession of the Lamb on your behalf at that time, if you could have seen the angelic power that came, like in Gethsemane when he got weak and he couldn't go on anymore, and the Lord sent an angel to strengthen him. Friends, the Bible says His angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall obtain salvation. That those times you'll find those anointed angels coming from His presence. They come and put their wings around you. And you wonder where this atmosphere is coming from. And you wonder what's reviving you. The same angel that went to Elijah when he couldn't go on himself. When Elijah wanted to say, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. Friends, it's a covenant. It's a grace covenant that He's made with us. And it doesn't matter about angels, no principalities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So the things that are bothering you now, they're not going to separate you from the love of Christ. Whatever Satan's plotted in your future, whatever schemes and traps and snares He's laying in your path, God's already covered it in His word. This is neither things to come. They're not going to separate you from the love of God either. If you go to the next one, bro. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter how much somebody hates you, that doesn't matter. Because His hate doesn't separate you from the love of God. No matter how much people slander you and they speak until you'll be at home and your ears will be tingling saying, people are speaking against me. It doesn't mean anything, friends. It just hurts us as people. But in the spiritual realm, it means nothing. Because a curse causeless shall not land on a person. It means nothing. All they do, you know what happens? That curse comes back on them. That's what the Bible says. What they plot and prophesy about you, it happens to them. That's why the best thing is speak good about whoever it is. The prophet says, if you don't know anything good, don't say anything. He said, just speak the good things that you know and God will bless you. It's the best thing to do. It's the safest and the best thing to do for the sons and daughters of God. Let's look at an example of this. If you go to Acts 23, we'll finish with this scripture. Acts, I like this story very much in the Bible. This plot when they plotted to kill Paul. Friends, you want to try to kill an apostle, an anointed one of the Lord. Hey. But these guys were determined, verse 11. But look what happened first. The beginning of the story is, this is when Paul now he's been beaten and all of that, and he's been, you know, the Roman soldiers have to come and deliver him from the hands of these evil Jews that want to destroy him. They take him into the Roman garrison, put him in prison, and what happens in verse 11? And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. So can you see one thing here? God's purpose for his life wasn't yet fulfilled. And the prophet says, until God's purpose for your life is fulfilled, it doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter what the devil does. Nothing can stop that. You'll come to your sick bed. The doctors will be there. They'll be saying, we don't think we can do anything. Something will just quicken you once again. Something will quicken you. It doesn't matter what comes. The prophet says, as long as God hasn't finished with you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how hopeless the situation seems. Doesn't matter how dark the day may get. It doesn't matter how weak you may get. But something's going to kick in once again. The power of the covenant's going to come. It's going to raise you up again. It's going to take you through whatever it is that you need to go through, because God hadn't yet finished with Paul. And now that's what's happening in heavenly places. Christ is coming down to this man. Jesus himself coming in the cell and said, be of good cheer, Paul. As you've testified of me in Jerusalem, you must testify in Rome. So God wants Paul to go to Rome. Look how he's going to do it. Next verse, verse 12. And when it was day. You see, the Lord knows just when to come, friends. He comes and he strengthens Paul and he renews his promises to him. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse. You know what that actually means? They bound themselves saying, we will be condemned by God if we don't fulfill this. That's literally what it means. You're asking God to condemn you. They bound themselves under a curse. These weren't unbelievers. These were zealous Jews. People that, like Paul used to be in his day when he was Saul of Tarsus. Zealous Jews. They bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they'd killed Paul. Friends, you're going to get very thin when you take that kind of a vow. Like I said, here's two things. Here's what God has said about Paul, and here's what people are saying about Paul. Let's see which one's going to come to pass. Let's see which one's going to come to pass. Though you bind yourself with a curse, though you fast, I'm not going to eat until those people don't prosper anymore. Let's wait and see. God hasn't changed his mind, friends. God hasn't changed his mind about his people, doesn't change his mind about your commission. He said, I'll never leave you until I fulfilled what I spoke about you. He says, he never will. Until my course is finished, friends, it doesn't matter what the devil does. Until your course is finished, it doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter. So these people bind themselves with this curse. Verse 13. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. 40 zealous religious people. 40 people under the law of Moses making a curse. We're not going to eat or drink until this man dies. And they're meeting together in somebody's house secretly to say, we know how to destroy this man. What we need to do, let's get the governor, Lysanias. Let's get him to bring Paul to the Sanhedrin Council. We'll go and speak to the leaders of the Jews. We'll fall upon him. He'll die. He'll perish. Friends, they're making their plot. They're making their plan. The Bible says there's no counsel against the Lord. There's no counsel. Doesn't matter what people counsel, friends. You'll never change the mind of God. You'll never change the plan of God. You'll never change the program of God. It doesn't matter. That was the vision that God had, and that was the vision that these people had. 40 people. They were cruel people. Did you see? They were determined. They were strong people. I mean, this was far more than Paul as a man could ever overcome. These people were so anointed by the devil. There was like a darkness that came into that place. And you would think, but hey, Paul, you're in a lot of trouble now. So God says, no, it's okay. What we'll do, I'll show you how you overcome this. Verse 15. Now therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though he would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he comes near, are ready to kill him. So they got the Sanhedrin council involved. They went to the council. They said, okay, call for Paul to come because you want to ask of him some points of dispute. Friends, imagine this council. Imagine these Jews. Imagine this. They're all arrayed against Paul. And these people think they can undo the will of God. Now, just to show how God uses the foolish things of this world to overcome. All of that apparatus, all of those people, all of their vows, you know what God used to overcome them? A child. A child. A young boy. That's all God needed. In verse 16, And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. That was God's secret weapon. God looked at all this darkness, all these demons that had plotted together. And God just sent a boy. And the boy went and he heard, oh, these people are plotting against Paul. He went and told Paul. Paul went and told, sent the boy to go and tell the Lysanias, the keeper of the big guy of the soldiers. And when Paul's sister's son went, verse 17, then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain. And he said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man to thee, who has something to say to thee. And the chief captain took him by the hand, went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou would bring Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. Now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou showed me these things to me. And he called unto him 2 centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, 70 horsemen, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor. Friends, God's resources are always greater than the devil's resources. God's resources are always, he can just call anything to deliver you. He can use anything that he wants. Friends, when there's 40 Jews, the Sanhedrin council, God goes and puts hundreds of soldiers, spearmen, horses, says, no, this is a child of the covenant. He's got to get to Rome. He's got to get there safely. He's got to finish his course. Then anything that's going to come in the way of him finishing his course, God's going to use the strangest of ways sometimes. God's going to use the most unexpected of means. God's going to bring deliverance to you in ways that you never expected. Through a young boy. But that was God's secret weapon to set him free. So these men have plotted together. They determined this man's not going from this place. And all their plots and curse did was hasten Paul on the journey. On a beast. He would have had to walk himself. But now he's going at the expense of Rome. Imagine. Paul doesn't even have to pay expenses for his journey now. They're putting him on a beast. They're giving him a guard of honor. They've got horses behind him, spearmen before him. And they're personally going to deliver him to Caesarea. And from there, he's going to be put into the hands of another man who's personally going to make sure that he gets to Rome. Friends, that's all that the devil can do. He can huff and he can puff, like the saying says, but he can never blow your house down. Because you're built on the rock. He can huff, he can puff, he can make you feel scared that, oh, these people are plotting against us. Oh, these people are against me. Oh, these people don't like me. You know, all it's going to do is hasten you to your adoption. That's all it's going to do. When they throw you in the pit and they say, you dreamer, we don't need your dreams anymore. You know what all that's going to do? It's going to quicken the fulfillment of those dreams. Because there was no way Joseph could have got to Egypt himself. How is this young man ever going to get to Egypt? Never going to get to Egypt. How is he ever going to, even if he gets to Egypt somehow, how is he going to get before Pharaoh? How is he going to get before Pharaoh? Friends, God knows how to do things. He says, the only way this guy goes as a prisoner. First he goes as a slave, then he's going to get falsely accused. There's going to be a curse put upon him by Potiphar's wife, but that curse is going to come back on her and it's going to become a blessing to Joseph. And he's going to go in prison, then he's going to be the keeper of the prison, and in due season, I'm going to be with him until all that I've spoken of him is going to be fulfilled. It doesn't matter what his brothers think about him, doesn't matter about what Potiphar thinks, doesn't matter about Potiphar's wife, what she thinks, but what I think about him is the only thing that counts. It doesn't matter what people are going to say against him. Doesn't matter about the curses they're going to put upon him. It's what I say about him. That's what's going to come to pass. And friends, we're the same children of the covenant. We're under a greater covenant than Joseph was under. We're under a grace covenant, under the blood of the Lamb. We're under a divine call, a divine commission, under the message of the hour. Ministered to a prophet by an angel in a cave. and a pillar of fire that came to unveil the seals to us so we could see our names under the seals. Friends, and you think people are going to stand in the way of that? You think people who hate you are going to hinder you from fulfilling your purpose? Do you think the desire of man means much in the course of things? Do you mean a few setbacks here and there, situations you don't understand, some perplexity, some distress, some peril is going to hinder God's purpose from being fulfilled in your life? Never. What sort of God are you speaking about? That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of the message. The God of the message is a covenant God. He's a covenant-keeping God, and he's faithful to 1,000 generations to his covenant. And when he's determined something upon you, it'll come to pass. It doesn't matter what hell has to say. Doesn't matter what people on earth, under the earth. It doesn't matter. God's purpose will be fulfilled. And if you get out of line, he knows how to get you back in line. If you get disobedient, he's going to chasten you. He's going to give you a whipping, and he's going to bring you back in line. If you backslide like Abraham into Egypt, he's going to teach you a lesson and bring you back into the promised land. No matter what it is, friends, this is the God of the covenant. This is the one that David was writing the psalm about. To say, let's speak of his wondrous works. Let's think of this covenant God and how he kept Abraham and he kept Isaac and he kept Jacob. And even when he became Israel, he was still the God of Jacob. He became the God of Israel, but the covenant was still the same. And then he led them through the wilderness and he brought them in 7 nations mightier than themselves. God swept them out and gave them the inheritance. And whenever they sin, God would chastise them, but they're the children of the covenant. And whosoever curses them will be cursed. And whosoever blesses them will be blessed. Amen. Oh, friends, that's the word. Let's read it as we finish. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, just to read the last few verses again. That's why he says, let's read it in fact from 7 again. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. He wanted just to thank the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Our friends, make known his deeds among the people. What deeds has he done for you? These 7 years that we've been here, whatever it's been. Friends, there's been sad times as well. There's been hard times as well. But friends, he's done many deeds. Remember Brother Chukwosi when he came and we had the convention. What a blessing that it was. Remember the healings and all the baptisms and all the things that we've had here. Friends, there's been many deeds. Many times you came here discouraged. You weren't going on anymore. God spoke to your soul and you pressed on once again. How many times? Many times you came and prayed and God hearkened unto your prayers. Time and time again, he's been so faithful to us, friends. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk you of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And remember his marvelous works that he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O you seed of Israel, his servants. What's he saying? You children of the prophets. We the children of the prophet.
Yes, sir.
O you seed of Abraham. O you seed of Branham. Because it's the same thing. We the sons of the prophet. O you seed of Israel, his servant. You children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah our God. The covenant-keeping God. He's Jehovah our God. His judgments on all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. Not of your current situation. Not of our current situation. Let's be mindful of his covenant. Yes. That he's the covenant God.
Yep.
He's our husband. He must provide for us. Yes. He's our father. He must look after us. He always has. He's not going to stop now. But he has his time. He has his place. He has his way. We just have to follow as he leads. We just have to wait for him to open the way. We can't force the doors open. But he's the covenant God. He knows what he's doing. So we leave it to his wisdom and his understanding, the mystery of his will. Let's just keep serving him and following the best that we can, and he'll take us to the place that we're supposed to be. We don't have to worry about these things. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law. And to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan. He's promised us an inheritance. To you, I'll give the spoken word. To you, I'll give rapturing faith. To you, I'll give a body change. To you, I'll give all of my promises. That's why he called us to the message. God doesn't call us to the message and lose us in the middle. We're not disobedient people. We might be childish sometimes, but he's teaching us. We're maturing as we go. We might make mistakes. Even trying to do the best that we can, we may fall short. That's not what he's speaking about. This is a covenant of grace. He says, I'll not leave you until I fulfilled all that I spoke to you of concerning you. He's given us the promises, friends. He's not going to fail us. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When you were but few, even a few and strangers in it, when people would have looked and said, ah, these are the covenant people of God, these few people here. There's big nations. Here's the Amorites. Here's the Hittites. Here's all the other nations. Look at their armies. Look at their palaces. Look at their, you know, the kings and the way they dress. And have a look at the power of these nations. This man's living in a tent. Abraham. Living in a tent. But when God looked down from heaven, his eye was on one place. The tents of Abraham. That's where his covenant was. That's where his covenant presence was. That's where his covenant revelation was. That's where his covenant protection was. So we mustn't look at things with this. The Bible says he looks not as man looks. God doesn't look that way. He says, when they were yet few in number, even few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, moving from here and moving to there. And Jacob tries to dig his well and someone takes his well. It's okay. Goes and digs another well. Someone takes his well. He has to move to another well. Let me dig another well. Someone takes his well. He finally digs his well. It's all good. They didn't take this room for us all. That's what he calls it. Remember the story. That's what happens to us, friends. Sometimes we'll be pushed from here, pushed to there, pushed to there, but then God has a place for us to be. You know, it's always going to be like that. When they went from nation to nation and from kingdom, one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. It doesn't matter where they were. The covenant was still in effect. If they were here, because he moved them there, his covenant was in effect. He wouldn't allow people to harm them. When he took them there, his covenant was still upon them. He wouldn't allow people to do them harm. Despite the evil of men, despite the plots and plans of the devil, despite how much he had come and anoint people to come and destroy this little band of people in those tents, all that was between them and the enemies was their tent skins, friends. That's all they had, skins. And you read the entire history of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. None of them ever got a scratch. None of them got a scratch from their enemies. Is that possible? It is possible. And he's your God as well. And he's the same one who's watched over you as well. And the only time something happens to you is when he suffers it to happen. Because he wants to teach you something. Because there's a lesson to be learned. Verse 21, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Saying, touch not mine anointed. And do my prophets no harm. And the people looked at them and said, these are just but shepherds. These are smelly people that live out there in the dusty areas of the country. And God looked at them and says, these are my anointed. They're anointed as prophets and priests and kings. That's what they were anointed as. This is my holy priesthood. When these people offer their sacrifice, I pay attention. You all offer on your altars, I don't pay any attention. But when that little group there, when they offer their sacrifice, it brings my presence down. I'll be with them. And I'll watch over them. And you plot against them. What you plot against them, you dig a hole. You're going to fall in the same hole yourself. And it happened time and time again. And God protected me. He says, saying, touch not mine anointed. And do my prophets no harm. Friends, we should be thankful to the Lord today. For all that he's done. And let's be thankful for all that he's going to do. I'm thankful for this place. But I'm even more thankful for the next place. Because you have to thank the Lord ahead of time. That's what faith is. You don't have to wait to see the place before you thank him. It may be like those women when they were prayed for and Abraham says, you know, go your way, the Lord's healed you. And he called out their names. Those two, the brother, Abraham speaks when they went home. And the one had ulcers in her stomach. And, you know, she went weeks still testifying of the goodness of God and surely the Lord will heal. And then one day the angel of the Lord went through the neighborhood and both of her and her friend were healed. We just wait for his time. We just give him thanks. And then the angel of the Lord will sweep through the neighborhood and we'll find ourselves in a place. Hey, this is a wonderful place that the Lord prepared for us. When's it going to be? Your guess is as good as mine. But it's not for me to worry about that. It's not for you to worry about that. The only thing we need to worry about now is, Lord, help us just to get a place for Sunday. while we wait for your perfect place to come. Because he's never failed us yet. He's never let us down. Has he let you down, friends? I've let him down. You've let him down. But he's never let us down. Because he can't. He's the covenant-keeping God. He'll keep his covenant to 1,000 generations. Despite your ups and downs and my ups and downs, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing will stop his purpose from being fulfilled in our lives. So let's thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for this place. We thank the Lord for all the meetings we had here. Thank the Lord for all the good times. Thank the Lord for all the bad times. Sometimes the bad times taught us more here than the good times. Sometimes the bad things that happened have quickened us towards our inheritance far more than the good times ever did. We thank the Lord for everything. We think of the saints that used to be with us. We pray God's blessing on them. We long to worship with them once again. We long to be together with them once again. We have nothing against anybody in this place. And as long as people leave us in peace in the next place that we go, God bless them in the things that they're doing as well. But as for us, we'll continue on the path that he called us. We continue to look to him to finish the work that he has begun. Because he that has called you is faithful, the Bible says. He who began a good work in you will see it to the end. He will be faithful to complete it, the Bible says. So let's gird up our loins. Let's continue searching. Let's continue knocking the doors. Let's continue on our knees in prayer. And let's wait under expectation for the Lord to open the door. But until that time, we'll let you know before the weekend where we're going to be on Sunday. We don't know where we're going to be, but we trust in the Lord. And we thank the Lord for all things. Let's stand. Pastor George to come. Let's worship a little bit before we close in prayer. For the last time in this sanctuary that is given to us. It was good to be here. It was good all these years. I'm so glad to have been with Sister Lily in this place, Brother Francois, Brother Max, to have met him while we were here, Brother Will, to see him as a deacon, to see our Sunday school, to see our children grow up. We dedicated many of our children here. We've seen some of the children baptized. Some of the children now, they're doing well there in Switzerland. We had Brother Cheslin here. He's now preaching the gospel in Cape Town. He led so many Catholics to Christ in a certain church that the priest called him to see him. Because he has baptized so many Catholics. We think of Brother Kingsley and how he's doing so well there and in Italy. Friends, wonderful. Some good things. We're also sad for the people that backslid. We're sad for the people that didn't make it through. But we're glad to see Brother Greg and Brother Alex and Brother AJ and Sister Olga and people that God continues to bring. Just makes us want to be more faithful under the God of the covenant. That's what we desire.
Jehovah Jireh. My provider,
he's my provider.
You are more than enough for me, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, you my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you're always
with me, Lord.
You supply. More than enough. Oh, that's why we give you the glory tonight, for you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Holy name, for you deserve the glory and the honor, Lord. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Oh, as we lift your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles.
so great. There is no one else like you.
No one else like you, Lord.
There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
No one else like Jesus.
There is no one else like you. Oh, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
No one else like you, Lord.
There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like you.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
How great thou art,
how great,
how great thou art.
Then sings my soul,
then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art,
how great thou art,
how great thou art, how great thou art,
how great thou art.
Let's come to pray, saints. Let's all pray. Let's just thank the Lord before we go from this place. Let's thank Him for His goodness. Let's thank Him for His grace. Let's thank Him for the blood of the covenant. Let's thank Him for His forgiveness. Let's thank Him for this place, and let's thank Him for the next place. Let's give Him the glory before we go. Let's all pray. Jesus, we do just want to thank You, Lord. We just want to come unto Thee, Lord. I just want to thank You, Father, for every good thing that You've done. So grateful for this place. So grateful, Father, for the times that You've given unto us. Thank You, Father, for, Lord, the prayers that have been offered in this place. Thank You for a place that has been sanctified by prayers, Lord. Thank You, Father, for people that, Father, that have...
Lord, and we, Lord Savior, believe, Lord. Father, we are just fulfilling, Lord. Father, the vision, Lord Savior God. And we are waiting, Lord, even upon me, Lord Savior God. All right, pray for Declan, Lord. Even upon this time, Lord Savior God. Waiting, Lord. Even in expectation, Lord Savior. For reply from Him, Lord Savior. Trusting, Lord, that even upon this night, Lord Savior. Oh, God, Lord Savior. Lord, we have a Lord Savior reply, Lord Savior God. Father, we look unto Thee, Lord Savior God. And we are thankful, Father, for Your mercy, Lord Savior God. We are thankful for Your grace, Lord, that You've allowed us, Lord, Father, to come to the end in this place. We trust in You.
Father, we wanted to thank You for this place, Lord. We want to thank You for all that You've done. Father, just to think of Your goodness, Lord. Father, I do just so much in my mind. Think of all the ministers that You've sent our way. Father, even in this place, Father, dozens of Your servants, Father, Your sons. Father, You've sent them unto us. We pray Your blessing upon each and every one of them and upon the works that they are doing, Lord. We appreciate each and every one of them, Lord. We think of the conventions that we've had. Father, we do appreciate that, Lord. We think of the dedications. We think of the people that You've healed. We think of, Lord, people that couldn't have children that have children, Father, Lord. We think of, Lord, Your grace, Lord, that has raised people up from the sick bed. We think of people that had, Father, issues of blood that You healed when they were prayed for. And Father, just so many things that You've done in this place. Father, we appreciate it, Lord. And Father, we know that these are just but a token of what You'll do in days to come. Father, and we just thank You in advance for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy, Lord. Father, we thank You for each time the Bible has been opened in this place. We thank You, Father, for the message, Lord, of the hour. We thank You for, Father, the ministers that minister here. We pray Your blessing upon each of them. We thank You for each officer, Lord, that has stood faithfully in the post of duty. Father, we just pray Your blessing upon them as well. Father, we want to remember upon this night our landlord, and Father, how good He's been to us, Lord. And Father, we do ask for Your blessing upon upon his projects, Lord. We ask your blessing upon his business. Father, you have said that you'd bless them that bless us. So we do ask and pray that even this place, that you'd continue, Lord, to let this be, Father, just a sacred place, a blessed place, we'd pray. Bless whatsoever would be done in this place, we'd ask, Lord. And Father, may your knowledge still be in this place, we'd ask and we'd pray. Father, we do think of your sons and daughters, Lord, that aren't with us at this time. We just pray for Sister Julie, that you'll bless her in Zimbabwe, Lord, and keep her, bring her back safely, Lord. Amen. Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia, traveling back, bring them safely back, we'd pray. Father, Brother Mike, Sister Patience, we pray for them, Lord. And Brother Mike, Sister Gloria, bless them on their holidays, Lord. Each other family, Lord, that Father, Lord, isn't here upon this night. We dedicate them up unto Thee, Lord, Father. Our young people in Switzerland, Lord, we just pray your richest blessings, Amen. Lord. That Father, through the power of your covenant of grace, that you'd unveil yourself, Lord, just visit them just in a wonderful way, that they may know Thee better, that they may know Thee more. Father, may you bring them back safely, Lord, we pray. And Father, Lord, as we continue to wait upon Thee, Lord, and continue to look for a place, Father, guide us, Lord. Help us for this weekend, Lord. You said, and take no thought for tomorrow. So, Father, we just bring and we dedicate it into your hands, Lord. Guide our footsteps, Lord. Inspire us, Lord. Father, the ways that you work are so strange many times. Father, your instruments of deliverance can be, Lord, unexpected unto us, Lord. So just open that door. Father, we're waiting upon Thee, Lord. But in the meantime, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Hallelujah. Lord. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done. Father, give us traveling mercies as we travel. May your blessing continue to be upon us, Lord, until you'd give us opportunity to gather once again. Father, be with us, Lord. And Father, let our hearts be at peace as we stay them upon Thee. And let us rest in your promises and in your goodness, Lord. And Father, even the invitations that have come to go to various places, we give them to Thee. Bless them, we pray. Brother Nanda wanted to come to minister to us. Father, let it be in your time. Bless it, we ask and pray. Father, you're still making purposes and plans. Lord, you know the thoughts that you have towards us. Let them be established, we pray. Bless us now as we go. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Like the prophecies, one day we'll close the Bibles for the last time. In this place, we close the Bible for the last time. And we move on. God has His place. He has His time. May God be with you as we depart. We'll let you know as soon as we have further plans for the weekend.
Amen.
Oh Lord, you are so precious to me. Oh Lord, you are so precious to me. And I love you. Yes, I love you. Because you first love me, because you first love me, I love him, I love him, I love him, because the first love me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Oh, I love you, I love you, my Lord. I love you. Oh, I, oh, because He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Oh, I love you, and I love you. Yes, I love you.